It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh boy, oh boy. Hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It is September 9th, 2021, and that means that it is Thursday, beer day, wonderful time. It's a compressed week, so that means there's lots of work stuff piling up, which is stressing me out. But we're mellowing out. We're going to mellow. We're mellowing. Big shout out to Anon Radio and SDF. Thank you so much for always hosting the show. If you want to listen, stay tuned to Anon Radio. I'm also this week trying out live streaming onto Tubenix. I created a short URL that should show up in Calm if you want to check it out. Calm, by the way, is the chat program that's used on Anon Radio and powered by SDF. Just SSH over to sdf.org. If you don't have an account new at sdf.org, boom, you will get all signed up, and then you can chat in Calm. Just G for go to, and then Anon Radio, all lowercase, all one word. And you can hang out with cool people like SMJ and Publius and Northern Lights and our new friend GTC1977. Lots of people. Tobe's usually around. Jazzmaz is always listening somewhere out there. And hopefully Alexander Graham Bell and Edison are burning in hell. We can only pray that that's what's happening. Absolutely terrible people. And don't forget Snow Dust. Oh yeah. My sounds aren't as conveniently located, so it's a little harder for me to click over to them. Anyway, we'll just skip some mini. We'll skip the sound. It'll be all right. So lots of fun, lots of adventures going on, but you know, we have to start. Oh, I got to be sure and mention after the show at 1930 UTC is the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe, and we've got Ouroboros's Santani Sounds right after that, and we've got just a stacked lineup. Press equal in Calm or equal sign in Calm or go to anonradio.net. We've got Pumpkin Pie with Mr. Bruges, Language Soup with DJ Super Salad, aka Handy C. The Mentos Fresh Maker Show is coming up to, you know, at midnight UTC. Just lots of fun stuff, so definitely check it out. Lots of fun. All right, now we can get started the way we almost always start.
World news.
That's right, with the world news.
World news.
All right, so we talked about how we've talked the last few days. Sorry, there's some anti-masturbation chat, and it caught me off guard. Anyway, we were talking about Guinea and how there's been a coup recently. Well, the latest coup, we kind of have some information on kind of why or what's going on. Well, Guinea is bauxite rich, and its coup is reverberating across the market for aluminum. Although, for now, it appears the global production chain is not under threat. Aluminum prices are already buoyed by a gradual economic recovery and topped $2,800 a ton to reach the 13-year high on Wednesday after the coup. So, Guinea has 13 million inhabitants, and it possesses the world's largest reserves of bauxite, which is a reddish or gray rock that's extracted into aluminum oxide, which is then smelt into aluminum. It's a very interesting story on how that all came about, if you ever want to go into a rabbit hole down Wikipedia. The West African state holds estimated bauxite reserves of 7.4 billion tons, around one quarter of the global total, U.S. Geological Survey said last year. Domestic and foreign firms last year produced 82 million tons of bauxite in Guinea. They were surpassed only by Australia, which has the world's second largest reserves, ahead of Vietnam and Brazil. China has around seven times less reserves than Guinea, and imports around half its needs from there, according to Raw Materials Consultancy. So, beyond potential short-term supply wobbles, observers are confident the coup will not have lasting effects, which is what the rebel, you know, the coup people said yesterday. We're going to keep producing stuff. So don't worry. It remains most likely that miners will be able to continue operating, even though we lack clarity on the direction of the country's mining policy and who will manage the government's portfolio, notes Eric Humphrey Smith, Africa analyst at risk intelligence company Verisk Maplecroft. So this is an interesting twist, and I didn't realize that Guinea was the bauxite leader in the world, so that's pretty interesting. CRU currently estimates cumulative bauxite stockpiles around the world exceed 50 million tons in China, and that's equivalent to about 6 months of imported bauxite. So we're not going to be worried about it too much. Is Anon Radio coming through okay? I hope so. Oh, I forgot to click this button. Anyway, sorry, Calm. I just got sidetracked. I was like, oh no. I'm very paranoid because I'm playing with the technical part of the setup, and I'm like, ugh. Hey, Stug. Welcome. I missed you earlier. Hello. All right. Next story. This is a bit of a surprise. Dangerous. International Space Station, smoke triggers alerts on board. That's right, a smoke alarm went off on the space station. Alarms were triggered on the International Space Station after the crew reported smoke and the smell of burning plastic. Oof, no bueno. The incident centered on the Russian-built Zvezda module, which provides living quarters, Russian media report. The aging space station has suffered a number of failures over the years, and a Russian official recently warned of outdated hardware and failing systems. These include air leaks, misfiring engines, and cracks. Russia's space agency, Roscosmos, said later that all systems were back to normal. The smoke was detected during recharging of the station's batteries. Oh no, even worse. The agency said, and the crew had now returned to regular training. The burning plastic smell was reported to have spread from the Russian section to the U.S. segment. The U.S. space agency, NASA, said a spacewalk planned for later on Thursday would still go ahead. Two Russian cosmonauts are set to carry out work on the recently delivered Nauka science module. N-A-U-K-A. So, in April, Russia's Deputy Prime Minister Yuri Borisov told state TV that aging metal on the station could lead to irreversible consequences, to catastrophe. We mustn't let that happen. So, Roscosmos said last year that structural fatigue meant the ISS would not be capable of operating beyond 2030. In July, a malfunction caused the jet thrusters of the module to fire without warning, destabilizing the ISS. If you remember that, that was pretty wild. Pretty serious business, but luckily the space station did not burn down or explode, at least not yet. So, whew. Space is cool. This is not cool, though. Sun mummifies dead mum in Austria to get her benefits. It's not unheard of, but Austrian police said Thursday they Arnold Schwarzenegger country, not down under. Austrian police said Thursday they had discovered the body of an 89-year-old woman who died over a year ago and was mummified in the cellar by her son, who wanted to continue receiving her benefits. In a statement, police said the mother, who is believed to have suffered from dementia, died in June last year. The 66-year-old man kept her body in order to continue receiving benefits, they added. The suspect lived with his mum near Innsbruck in the Tyrol region. He admitted in questioning that he froze her body with ice packs in the basement after she died to guard against the smell. He then wrapped her in bandages to absorb any corporal fluid. He covered his mother with cat litter, and finally the corpse was mummified. Helmut Guffler, in charge of the police's Social Security fraud limit, told public broadcaster ORF. Why would they give instructions? Why would they give you instructions how to mummify your mother? The suspect would get his mum's benefits by post every month, but a new postman had recently asked to see the beneficiary. When the son refused, he reported to the authorities, and the body was discovered on Saturday. The man had pocketed 50,000 euros since June 2020 from payments. An autopsy ruled out that he had killed his mother. The suspect is accused of benefit fraud and hiding a corpse. Yeah, handy. See, where's my mummy? And so this is just wild, just because collecting benefits is one thing, but he kept her around, which is just what I find very strange. And he didn't kill her. I don't know. It's just very wild. Very, very wild. There's a movie that Jack Black was in not too long ago where something like that happened. All right. Well, let's stop thinking about that. I'm trying to do less death. But news to me, it just always bends towards it.
Ouch!
That's what some people are saying whenever they get Havana Syndrome. So, doctors, scientists, intelligence agents, and government officials have all been trying to find out what causes, quote, Havana Syndrome, a mysterious illness that has struck American diplomats and spies. Some call it an act of war. Others wonder if it's some new and secret form of surveillance. And some people believe it could all be in the mind. Or who or what is responsible? It's often started with a sound, one that people describe as buzzing, grinding metal, piercing squeals. One woman described a low hum and an intense pressure in her skull, another a pulse of pain. Those that did not hear a sound felt heat or pressure. Havana Syndrome first emerged in Cuba in 2016, where CIA officers caught it, which means that they were kept secret. But eventually, word got out and anxiety spread. 5 years on, reports now number in hundreds, and the BBC has been told span every continent, leaving a real impact on the U.S. ability to operate overseas. So, lots of theories floating around, but recently, another possibility came into frame, one whose roots lay in the dark recesses of the Cold War, in the place where science, medicine, espionage, and geopolitics collide. When James Lynn, a professor at the University of Illinois, read the first reports, he immediately suspected that microwaves were responsible. His belief was based not just on theoretical research, but first-hand experience. Since its emergence around World War II, there have been reports of people being able to hear something when a nearby radar was switched on and began sending microwaves. This was even though there was no external noise. In 1961, a paper by Dr. Alan Frey argued the sounds were caused by microwaves interacting with the nervous system, leading to the term the Frey effect. But the exact causes and implications remained unclear. So, this is wild, right? Yeah, so I think when they're talking about microwaves, they're not talking about, like, the specific frequency in your microwave oven. They're talking about RF frequencies in the microwave range, like they use whenever they're doing when they're talking to satellites, but when they're talking, doing radar and stuff like that, echolocation. So this is going on. The article's quite long. It goes into a lot of detail, but it's very fascinating. If you're interested at all, go to thebbc.com. It's one of their top stories today. Super cool. We've got three more headlines, and then, oh man, our favorite friend is just jumping around at me. Where are you, buddy? I hear you. Can you guys hear him? Probably not. It's okay. Oh no, I think I lost him. Where'd our friend go? Do, 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 do. There he is. I found him.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
That's why.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music. Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Oh my gosh. There we go. All right, here we go. Like to hear it? Here it go. Africa's CDC slams leaders for hollow vaccine pledges. The African Union's health watchdog accused world leaders Thursday of falling short in their pledge to share vaccines with poorer nations, and their failure risked making the disease endemic. Africa is facing a COVID-19 resurgence as it lags in the global vaccination drive, with just 3.18% of its 1.3 billion people fully inoculated. We cannot continue to politicize the situation by making statements that we do not follow through with firm commitments, John Nkengasong, head of Africa Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, said. Pledges do not put vaccines in people's arms. Across the continent, cases are rising at an alarming rate. More than 40 countries are experiencing a third wave of infection, and six are grappling with their fourth, even as life in many wealthy nations is returning to normal thanks to high inoculation figures. Facing anger over unequal access to jabs, the group of seven industrial powers pledged in June to provide 1 billion COVID vaccines with developing nations. The G7 plan also included commitments to avert future pandemics, slashing time taken to develop and license vaccines to under 100 days, and reinforcing global surveillance and strengthening the WHO. But, yeah, much to no one's surprise, wealthy nations don't give a crap about anybody but themselves, unless, you know, they'll spend money. They'll pay money to contractors to go ahead and go work in a foreign country somewhere that needs help. But really, it's just a big money game. And, oh yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot that you can see my mouse. I am a... I don't know. I'm not... I sometimes think I have ADHD because I cannot focus for very long, so I move my mouse a lot. I will move it around off the screen. Sorry about that. Alrighty. Well, what else is going on? Well, I got two more stories before we get to the song.
Get the news over with. I want to
hear
the
music. Ford Motor Company has bailed on India and is going to be shutting its car factories there. Ford Motor Co. is going to shut factories in India and record roughly $2 billion dollars in restructuring charges, scaling back significantly in a country that past management saw becoming one of its three biggest markets. Manufacturing of vehicles for sale in India will stop immediately, and 4,000 employees will be affected, the carmaker said in a statement on Thursday. Ford will wind down an assembly plant in the western state of Gujarat by the fourth quarter, as well as vehicle and engine manufacturing plants in the southern city of Chennai by the second quarter of next year. Ford's moves come months after it dropped a plan to cede most of its Indian operations to local sport utility vehicle maker Mahindra & Mahindra Ltd. Ford India racked up more than $2 billion in losses during the past decade and wrote down the value of its business by about $800 million in 2019. So, very, very interesting. It's one of those things. I take a little bit of joy when I see big powerhouse companies in the United States go to some other country and then just try and just do exactly the same thing in some other country, like they can just kind of force American tastes and desires onto a foreign group, and then they fail. Because, you know what? Different cultures are important, and different groups have different tastes, and you gotta, don't. Unless you're selling KFC, don't do that. All right. And, yeah, Coca-Cola, Kraft Mac and Cheese, try and sell Hershey's chocolate outside of the U.S. China sells oil reserves to lower prices in an unprecedented move. This is kind of neat. China made an unprecedented intervention in the global oil market, releasing crude from its strategic reserve for the first time with the explicit aim of lowering prices. The announcement comes amid surging energy costs in China, not just for oil, but also coal and natural gas. Electricity shortages in some provinces have forced some factories to cut production. Inflation is rapidly rising too, which is a big political headache for Beijing. Oil prices have slumped. In a late statement on Thursday, the National Food and Strategic Reserves Administration said the country had tapped its giant oil reserves to ease the pressure of rising raw material prices. Didn't offer any further details, but people familiar with the matter said the statement referred to millions of barrels the government offered in mid-July. So, this is kind of neat. Anyway, I think it's pretty neat. Yeah, Hershey's chocolate is awful. Hello, Rusta? I missed somebody. Anyway. Oh. Anyway, I'm all over the place. Focus. Focus. Why?
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I've got a cool song for you today. I'm really excited about this. And I've got to launch Pavu Control to be sure you can hear it. Because, get this. This is an OpenSUSE music parody about Linux. And I'm very excited about it. So, SUSE... combined. Let's see if this audio comes through. Oh yeah. Sorry.
Remember back in 1991, you posted on a Minix using a group. Just a hobby, won't be big at all. Started out with Bash and GCC. On a T-disk is where it could be found. People loved it and it got passed around. A multi-threaded file system running on a 386. Well, Linus said that it was open. Linus said that that it was GPL. All could use it for whatever they like, and it was okay. Community decided it was good coal. People started rolling their own distros, piling in see what they made piles, cause it was good coal. Now a mascot is a thing to do. Little penguin bit him at the zoo. Larry Ewing drew it up for view.
Sorry.
Got the name for ducks from James Hughes. Richard Solomon found a canoe. Emacs and GCC2. License under copyleft is true. Code is free as in speech for me and you. Linda said that it was open. Linda said that it was GPL. All could use it for whatever they like, and it was okay. Desk is known. When I go surf the interwebs, my browser is Chrome.
I use
Firefox. Friends ask how it thrives, and how Linux keeps all of it flowing. Benevolent dictator for life, that's why I'm okay. I said I'm okay. You know what Linus said? You know what he told us? Well, Linus said that it was open. Linus said that it was GPL.
You're listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
Oh, yeah. So that was OpenSUSE, whatever. They have a bunch. They used to do music video parodies for their conference or before their conference. So they have a great selection of Linux parody songs on there that are whole ass music videos. Firefox, so the Chrome is GPL, Firefox is has got its own license, but Firefox has an interesting restriction around its logo and use of its logo, and also the Mozilla Foundation has some issues. They also abandoned Thunderbird, which kind of made me sad, or stopped doing it. So anyway, Chrome is Google, which is bleh, and so you're kind of stuck, you know? You're left with... So anyway, I would encourage you, please, any open source project you do support, look it up and check it out and make sure that the people are doing it aren't like, I don't know, they're not like murderers or racists or whatever. That can be a big deal. All right. Well, I talked too much at the beginning of the show, which kind of always happens. So we're going to have to run through this as pretty quickly, so I'm sorry if I say anything too fast, but check it out. First, bears. Bears have invaded Lake Tahoe. After the Caldor Fire forced 22,000 residents of South Lake Tahoe to evacuate, bears in the region took it upon themselves to patrol the mostly empty area. With residents gone, garbage service suspended last week, and the fire burning through their habitat, bears dug through the resort town's trash cans and broke into homes in search of food. They were spotted at homes, gas stations, and outside grocery stores. Neighborhoods were littered with trash and bear break-ins, which have long been a problem. So, historically, Tahoe bears have always been a problem, especially in the late summer. They're getting ready for winter, so they're trying to pack on the calories, said Eric Palmberg, a public information officer with the sheriff's office. There are no people harmed or in the city when this was happening. So, watch out. Look up Riser FS if you want to hear an interesting murder story. Surfside tower collapse, Three have been arrested over victim ID thefts. That's right. U.S. police arrested three people accused of stealing the identities of victims in the building collapse that killed 98 people in June in Florida. They face multiple counts of identity theft, organized scheme to defraud, and trafficking in credit cards. So, weird. Very, very macabre kind of, but good targets. I mean, it takes a while for death certificates to show up. The Colorado City, Colorado in the U.S. is going to pay $3 million to a woman with dementia injured by police. If you haven't seen the video, basically this woman has dementia and she went through the checkout and thought she paid and just started to leave. And when she realized she hadn't paid, she tried to go back and pay it. But they had called the cops. They didn't want to hear it. And she got confused and she went back to her car. And the cops showed up and just threw this 75-year-old lady to the ground, broke her collarbone, dislocated her shoulder and broke her arm. And then they beat her up. Not a big fan. Also, in more obvious news about police not being good people, the AP has a story called Beatings, Buried Videos, and a Pattern at Louisiana State Police. We don't have time, so just if you want to read more about bad cops being bad, go to the AP. And I wanted to get this out. Magnet Milestone moves distance.